He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. Amen. 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 He has more than enough. Amen. There's something about when you get God, you get everything. Amen. The other day I was in my bedroom and I don't know what I was singing, but my wife's like, "Ooh, that sounds good." And I kept on singing. She's like, "Wow, you got through that whole line. It was on key." I said, "It's pretty crazy when the Lord gets a hold of you." Hallelujah. Who knows? I may bust out a solo one of these days. Amen. The Lord wills. I will. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles, got a laughter in there. That's all right. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Amen. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God for His touch. Amen. I love Him. Amen. He loves me. And you say, "Well, what about me?" Well, He loves you too. Thank God for that. Thank God for a God that believes in you. There are friends, there are family that don't believe in you. But God always believes in you. Never stop believing in you. I was actually in the back, and Brother Miller, I guess he's going to be talking about Gideon and Mighty Men of Valor. And there was a time where Gideon was hiding behind a wine press. The Lord looks at him and said, "Mighty Man of Valor." And people's like, "What in the world are you calling him Mighty Man? He's hiding." Well, God sees not what you are right now, but what you can become. Therefore, God never stops believing in you. There are times you stop believing in yourself, but God never stops. Somebody say, "God never stops." Never stops believing in you. Thank God for that. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez." Somebody say, "His mother called his name Jabez, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God," somebody say, "God granted him that which he requested." Thank God for a prayer answering God. Thank God for a prayer answering God. You wouldn't be here today if someone didn't pray for you. If someone didn't go to heaven's throne and say, "God, touch them." Thank God for that, because God hears and answers. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning just about the prayer of Jabez. And I know in looking through the scripture, and you know looking through the scripture, that in the Bible days, names were very important. And in ancient times, a name was often given to a child to describe his or her character, or their plight of his or her mother or father at the birth of the child. And so names are very significant. They didn't just make up names in those days because it sounded good. They didn't just make up names because it sounded cool. It's kind of neat sometimes. You can go to Starbucks and they're always asking what your name is. And sometimes, you know, I'll say my name's Jackson, and, you know, whatever it is. And I'll just give a crazy name. In the Bible days, you don't find people just naming things because it sounded good. I know my girl sometimes, she'll call herself Shaniqua or so, and they'll say, "How do you spell that?" And she's like, "I don't know." But they put that on her cup at Starbucks. But in the Bible days, you don't find people naming ones because it sounded good. I mean, Brother Roy, I don't find anybody in the scripture where they named anybody Frank or Bob. And there's nothing wrong with Bob, but I don't find Bobs in scripture. I don't find Leroy's in scripture. I don't find Herschel's in the Bible. I don't find those names because they didn't name people because it sounded good. They named them because of their meanings. And if you'd look up a few of the names in the Bible, like even the name of Isaac. Anybody know what the name Isaac means? It means laughter, because they bore Isaac at the old age. You look up the meaning of the word Michael, one who is like the Lord. Or Jeremiah, that is known as God hurls, or Jeremiah, because Jeremiah hurls himself. He is also known as the weeping prophet. Naomi named her sons Mahlon and Chilion, which means puny and piney. And Solomon, anybody know the meaning of the name of Solomon? Peace, that's what it means. He was the first king of Israel who did not go to war. And of course, Jesus, God saves, or Emmanuel. Anybody know what Emmanuel means? God with us. You get an A plus on that. But in the Bible times, names were very significant. Names were very important. And so we find in Scripture, we find in the fourth chapter, we read all of genealogies. We read about all the sons of Judah and all the sons of Shobai and all the sons of Etam and all the sons of Ezer and Hur and Asher and Helam and the sons of Haram. And over 600 individuals were listed and they were named. And every one of them had a meaning on their name. And then all of a sudden, we find God stopping in the midst of all these men, in the midst of all the sons of Shamar and Hamer, and he singles out one name that doesn't even list his father's name. Bible said in verse number 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brother. It doesn't even mention his brother's name. Doesn't mention dad's name. So the question is, if it doesn't mention dad's name, why? I mean, could it be that dad somehow was irresponsible and he messed up the inheritance of his family? Could it be that's why dad was never mentioned? Could it be that's why his family was never great? When could it be that he wasn't raised on the right side of the track? Could it be that his mother had something wrong with her name and her lineage? I don't know what it was. But the Bible said in verse number 9, saying, I bore him in pain. And she calls his name Jabez. And we know that the meaning of Jabez is pain. What an incredible stigma that Jabez had to live with. Always tarnished by the past. Always tarnished by the name. Being named pain. Everywhere he went, every gathering he was a part of, it was all about pain. Oh no, pain's here. He's such a pain in the neck. He's such a pain to be around. I don't know the jokes that they hurled at him, because again, names had meaning. And his mother named him Pain, named him Jabez. So the question I have for mom, what were you thinking? I mean, there's some names that you even know today that mom names their kid. They're like, what in the world were your parents thinking? Why'd they name you that? But Jabez, meaning pain. I mean, surely she wasn't thinking of the natural pains of childbirth, because every mother knows the pains of childbirth. And dad, we have no clue of that. We don't know. We could say, oh, we know what you feel like, honey. We have no clue, men. I mean, we're babies. I'm a baby. And I believe that's why the Lord said he doesn't put on us more than we can bear. I can't bear that. I don't want to try. I don't want to come close to trying. But I don't believe that she named him pain because of childbirth, because everybody had that pain. Maybe it was an extremely difficult birth. I don't know what it was. Many writers believe that Jabez's mother's pain was mental and emotional rather than physical. Another writer suggests that Jabez's father had in some way disgraced the family's name, since he was never mentioned in the genealogy. So whatever the reason, whatever the circumstance, she names him Jabez. For I bore him in pain. And I submit to you today, I submit to you this morning, that life has not always been fair. And life has not always been easy for you. And many of you have experienced loss. Many of you have experienced heartache. And many of you have experienced Jabez. You have experienced pain. Some have lost homes. Some have lost cars. Some have lost possessions. Some have battled health issues and family issues, and you've battled stress and anxiety and fear and worry and doubt and just the fear of the unknown of what tomorrow will hold. Some have experienced setbacks and confusions and disappointments and offenses and hurts and wounds and all of that. And all of us have at one time or another have experienced pain. Pains we didn't ask for. Pains we didn't expect. Pains we didn't anticipate. Pains of trouble. Pains of distress. Pains the fact that you can't even sleep at night. Pains the fact that you tried to focus on your job or your career, but in your mind, you're always reliving what has happened, what has transpired. It could have been of your childhood. It could be right now that you're feeling the pains of it all. And I'm going to tell you, life is never always fair. But God is always good. And I submit to you today that we have all been born in pain at one time or another. We were born in pain. And pain is not easy. Pain is not something that people will sign up for. Say, hey, pastor, sign me up. I'd love to have some pain. I'd love to experience heartache. I'd love to experience death and tragedy and horrific events. Sign me up. You don't see people in a line waiting to sign up for pain because pain is not easy. But I know in the midst of hurts and the midst of discomfort and in the midst of pain and in the midst of uncertainty and the midst of worry and stress and anxiety and stress and worry and confusion, I know it's easy at those times to give up and to quit. And to throw in the towel and say, what's the use anyways? I mean, I've been trying. I've been living right. I've been coming to church. I've been faithfully giving my tithe and my offering. And I've been praying and I've been fasting. And I've been reading my word. I've been knocking on doors. But I'm experiencing pain right now. And for some, it's easy, Brother Tom, to say, quits. Let's stop right now. Let us get a captain. And let's go back to Egypt. Let's go, because in Egypt, it wasn't as bad as it is now. See, something about pain, something about trial, something about disappointment, something about heartache and wounds that we go through and troubles that we face. Sometimes it's very easy for the adversary to get in your brain and say, you've never experienced this when you're out in the world. You never experienced this when you were high on drugs and you were drunk and all this stuff. It was always good then. No, it wasn't. The devil tries to manipulate your mind and try to think it was better back then. It wasn't better back then. Why in the world did the children of Israel say, let's go back to Egypt, let's go back there? Because they forgot about the bondage. They forgot about the cruel taskmasters. But because the Red Sea hadn't parted and because the enemy was coming, because of the pain they were thinking that was going to come upon them, they said, Brother Roy, let's go back. I'm going to tell you, there's never a time to go back. You read in Ecclesiastes and you read about it's a time to dance and it's a time to weep and it's a time to mourn. It's a time to fight. It's time. You read about all those it's a time for. But you'll never read in Scripture that it's ever a time to quit. Ever a time to back up. Ever a time to stop. I'm going to tell you the best thing that you could ever do is to move forward in times of pain. The best thing you could ever do is to be faithful through heartache and pain and trouble and trial. I'm going to tell you there's something to be said about men that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We'll shout when he gives. We'll shout when he blesses. But can you shout when he takes away? Can you shout when you got crutches, Brother Landry? Can you shout when you're on the bed at the hospital? Like I was talking to Brother Mendez, and every word out of his mouth was praise and worship. And I was like, Brother Mendez, you got pain. You got 28 staples. And yet the cat had something inside his spirit that said, I don't care what comes, I don't care what goes, my worship and my praise is not dictated on my present circumstance. My worship and my praise is dictated on him, because he never changes. He's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he got me out then, he can get me out now. But the enemy wants to somehow sidetrack you and derail you and say, it's not worth living for God. It's not worth coming to church. Not worth being faithful. Hello? Bible said he's a liar and the father of it. He's never abode in the truth. And yet we let him speak to us. I'm going to tell you, in time of need, that's the time to give. In time of trouble, that's the time to give. I ain't talking about your finances. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about giving worship and giving praise and saying, Pastor, I'll be here on workday night. Pastor, I'll be here on Monday night prayer. Pastor, I'll be here on Bible study. Pastor, I'll be here on outreach day. I'm going to tell you, when the night gets the darkest, it's time for you to share the light. Say, I'm not going to back up, but I'm going to move forward. There was a man in the Bible named Jabez, named pain, heartache, misery. But the Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. Why, Brother Archie? Because he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He became faithful in the midst of pain. He became faithful in the midst of discomfort. He became faithful in the midst of disappointments in life. If I were to ask you today, how many's ever had a disappointment? I believe everybody would raise their hand. How many's ever had anything in your life you wish you could do over, because you know that produced pain, it produced anxiety, it produced stress. We'd like to change some of that. But Jabez never gave up. He became faithful in the midst of uncertainty. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never find him in Scripture where the Bible ever says he was a mighty warrior. You'll never hear those songs that were sung about David, where Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. You'll never find where Jabez killed anybody. You'll never find where Jabez ever is alluded to by God, thy mighty man of valor. He was not a great writer. He didn't write a book. He wasn't a skilled politician as far as we know. His name is nowhere to be found in the history books. Nowhere to be found even in the heroes of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. He was simply a good person who trusted God. And God called him what? Honorable. Abundantly, I've said, if there's ever been a time, if there's ever been an hour where you and I need to be faithful, it is now. If there's ever been a time where we need to put God first, it's now. If there's ever been a time where we need to seek him, it is now. I'm going to tell you, it still takes praying. It still takes getting a hold of God. It still takes Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I'm going to tell you, if you'll learn to pray and you'll get prayer back in your homes and you'll get prayer back in your life, it will change stuff. You say, well, my marriage is in trouble and my relationships is in trouble and everything in life is in disarray. It's a time to pray. Because I guarantee you, your mortgage company cannot help you. You're the one that holds your car note. There's no way they can help you. Your credit cards, they're not going to call and say, hey, I've got the answer for you. No, they don't. Drugs don't do it. Alcohol doesn't. Dr. Field doesn't. Oprah doesn't. God's the only one. And the only way that God can touch you is you got to put him first. That's why in the Word of God, it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And we're not after the things, we're after him. We've got to be men and women of prayer. Why? Because this is our hour. This is our decade. This is a year of new beginnings. And I don't care about your past. I don't care about what you did yesterday. What I care about is right now. You could turn things around right now. I've had many people say, well, Pastor, I wasn't raised in this, and I don't have the greatest family name, and nobody wants me to be involved in anything. Well, who cares? God does. And God will raise you up, and God will elevate you. The problem is too many people look for their justification and their value and their worth coming from others, from their ministry. Well, God's called me into a ministry, and you get mad because nobody else has felt the burden of your ministry. And you're like, I need to quit. I need to. God didn't call you to quit. God called you to be faithful. And if God planted something in your spirit, you've got to put it inside your heart and your soul. It says, it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what goes. I'm going to stay in this. Why? Because God called me for such a time as this. It's a new day. It's a new hour. I know it's been hard. I know it hasn't been easy. I know you felt pain and you felt heartache. But listen to Pastor. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I believe there's another scripture that says something like, be not weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Doing what's right. Well, what is right? Praying, putting God first. Not just on Sunday. As a lot of us have Sunday religion down. A lot of us have Wednesday rituals and formulas down right. Well, I'm not talking about Sunday and Wednesday. I'm talking about a lifestyle. If you'll start, and I'm not telling you got to pray 24 hours a day, but why don't you start with a 15-minute prayer? Why don't you kickstart your day with prayer and getting God in it? Because I guarantee you, you get heaven as a resource in your life, it will produce much. Because it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by his what? His spirit, saith the Lord. That's why he said in his word, he that's within me, it's greater than he that's within the world. That should make you happy. That should make you joyful. Why? Because there's a God living on the inside of me. And he's greater than my problem. He's greater than my trouble. He's greater than my discomfort. There is a God that believes in me. You may not believe in me. You may not say it's good. You may not say I sing well. You may not say I don't have no talent. But there's a God that says, hey, if you got some loaves, if you've got some fish, I can multiply that. I can use you for such a time as this. So I challenge you, don't let heartache and don't let pain derail you from God's purpose in your life. Many times that pain is an indicator of you're doing the right thing. Many times that struggle that you're facing is an indicator, hey, I'm fixing to have a breakthrough. I don't know if any of you have ever exercised before. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit. If you'll start exercising, Not because it's a new year and you want to make a new resolutions. And I know that the gym memberships always increase from December, January, February, and then nobody shows up after that. They just pay their monthly payment. And I'm preaching to myself right now. But I'm telling you, when you get into the gym, those first 2 weeks of working out, if you're really working out, it hurts. Because you're tearing muscles that hadn't been torn a long time. You're like, whoa, I'm just happy sitting on a couch and eating potato chips. I'm just happy in my lazy boy recliner, and yet you're trying to push me to do weights and cardio. And you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? First 2 weeks are tough. But you get past that second week and you get into that third week and fourth week and fifth week and sixth week, and it starts to become a lifestyle, and all of a sudden you start getting energy. All of a sudden those shoulders go back, and all of a sudden those shirts are a little tight on you. It's almost like the other day my mother-in-law bought me some suits, but they were modern fit. And I felt like I was the Incredible Hulk because, I mean, they were just kind of busting out the seam. And my wife was like, you know, what time it is? I said, it's that time. There's something about that struggle. Nobody likes the struggle, but that struggle produces strength. And though you may not like that struggle, though you may not like that heartache, though you may not like that pain, if you'll keep through that struggle and you don't give up and say, "Nah, I'm not going in today. I'm not going to do that exercise. I'm not going to put that weight in there because I know it's going to hurt me." But if you'll keep on pressing towards that mark, there is a strength that's going to come through that struggle. And you're going to look back and say, "Thank God I didn't give up when my flesh wanted me to give up." Because there are times on a service night where you don't feel like worshiping. You don't feel like dancing. You don't feel like getting involved in service. But that spiritual man jumps up and starts worshiping and starts getting with it. And all of a sudden, your body is like energized. You're like, "Man, I'm glad I came to the house of the Lord." And what you do, even in the spiritual realm, you confuse the enemy. And the enemy's like, "What in the world is Brother James rejoicing about? He's been in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks. His wife's been in there. Why is he praising God?" Because he knows where his strength comes from. "Why in the world are you happy? You got no money in the bank and you got bills are due." "Because I know a Jehovah Jireh. I know a provider that's fighting for me." "Why are you worshiping God? You got pains all throughout your body." "Because I have a God that has become my strength." And Jabez realized that my mom and my daddy may call me pain. And nobody may even believe in me, but I'm going to pray, Brother Tom, because there's power in prayer. 2,500 years later, Jabez's prayer still lives on. Wasn't a great warrior, wasn't a man that wrote any scripture, but he said a prayer, and it's still alive today. And he prayed in verse number 10, and Jabez called on the name of the Lord, God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." Jabez, you don't deserve a blessing. You're pain, I know. But oh, that God would bless me indeed. Would God enlarge my coast, that thy hand would be with me, and thou would keep me from evil. Something about what he began to pray, that it may not grieve me. And God, the Bible said, granted him his request. What he was praying, Brother Roy, he was praying, "I've been Jabez long enough. I've been in pain long enough. I'm ready for my breakthrough. I'm ready for my blessing." Brother Winslow preached this a few years ago, and some of you may have caught that. Some of you may remember it. Some of you may not have. But he preached about changing your season. We know there's seasons, right? We know it's fall, spring, summer, winter. But there's, and we know that in the springtime, everything begins to blossom. And things don't really blossom in the summertime and in the wintertime. It's usually just the spring. But what Brother Winslow was saying is you could change your season, even though it's a summertime. Even though it's hot, even though you're in that famine, even though you're experiencing pain, you could turn things around and you could have a spring moment in summer. You could have a spring moment in winter. Why? Because God can change the seasons of your life. And you could say, "You know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sick and tired of heartache. Sick and tired of misery. Sick and tired of anxiety. Sick and tired of stress and confusion and doubt and worry about tomorrow. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to trust in man. I'm not going to trust in horses. I'm not going to trust in chariots. I'm not even going to trust in my bank account. I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God." And I pray that in 2018, that there be men and women that would arise and make up their mind and say, "God, help me to fulfill your purpose through me. God, bless me in 2018. Give me that joy that no pain can ever touch. Enlarge my coast. Let me reach this city. Let me reach this world. Give us favor and enlarge our territory." Four things that he prayed. "Oh, that thou would bless me. Sometimes your prayers have got to have some focus on it. And you can't worry about anybody else. I know we like to pray for others and we like to bless others, but there's moments in your life, it's like Jacob. When Jacob wrestled with the angel, and what Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go until you what? Until you bless me. Sometimes you got to get selfish for your miracle. Sometimes you got to make up your mind. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like, but I need a blessing. And I'm down to my very last dollar. Oh, Lord, that thou would bless me indeed. Some of you, the Bible says a violent taketh it by force. Some of you got to make up your mind. I don't care what they do. I don't care what she says. I don't care what he says. I want God to bless me. And I want to pray for others. But right now, it's not a time to pray for others. It's a time to pray for me. God, I need you to bless me. I need you to bless my home. I need you to bless my family. I need you to bless my children. I need you to bless my health. I need you to bless my finances. Oh, God, that thou would bless me. We ought to pray that every day. Oh, that thou would bless me. There is power in the words that we speak. Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And some of you need to speak some things into existence. Lord, your seed is never begging for bread. And I need a financial breakthrough. I need a financial miracle. I'm tired of living from paycheck to paycheck. Lord, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. I want to be a giver to your kingdom. I want to bless your kingdom, but God, I need you to bless me indeed. I'm going to tell you, when God begins to bless you, you begin to understand you didn't do it and your talents didn't do it, but God did it. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. You've never really prayed the beginning of your day, but I'm going to tell you, this is a great springboard to begin to pray. God, bless me. Bless everything around me. Second thing he prayed was, enlarge my coasts. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my influence. Let me reach this world. God has blessed you. Today we're here and we feel the presence of God. We're hearing his word. But I'm going to tell you, woe be unto us if we hide this gospel. Woe be unto us if we have that mentality. Finders keepers, losers weepers. It's time for us to share this. Amen. What's Acts chapter 1 verse 8 say? And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. Enlarge my territory so I can be a witness to my family and to my friends. First thing I'm asking, God bless me. Second thing, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my territory. And here's the third prayer that I love, the third part of it. Let your hand be with me. God, when I go to work tomorrow, let your hand be on me. When I walk into the doors, let people say, there's something different about you. What is it that I feel? Well, let me tell you about a God. He blessed me. He blessed my home. He put my marriage back together. He put my family back together. He blessed me. He enlarged my coast. And guess what? His hand's on me. I'm going to tell you, that's one thing we should crave. If there's anything in this prayer, let your hand be with me. Because I'm going to tell you, people know when you've been with Jesus, and people know when you haven't been with Jesus. When all you do is talk the talk and you don't walk the walk. You don't always have to be speaking in tongues for people to say, hey, they're a Christian. Because there's a radiance that glows from you. Years ago, we were in the Bahamas, and I haven't told the story in a long time, but I find myself repeating a lot of the stories I've said before. And for some of you, you've heard it millions of times. Well, here's 2 million times that you hear it. But I walked into this restaurant, and I had my golf clubs, and I was wearing my polo shirt and my golf attire, getting ready to golf. But before I golf, I got to have breakfast. So I went there to get biscuits and gravy and eggs and bacon and sausage and hash browns and just the spread. And some of you are like, Pastor, I'm not a breakfast person. Well, that's okay. I'll eat breakfast for you. We went to Black Bear last night and I had breakfast. Everybody else had burgers. I said, a breakfast for me. Give it for me. And I walk in there and I was thinking about breakfast. I was thinking about golfing. I was going to golf in this beautiful golf course. And as I got to the hostess, she looked at me and she said, "Are you pasta?" I said, "Pasta?" And I knew I put a little weight on. And I was like, I don't think I'm spaghetti, but maybe. What do you mean? And she says, "Do you love Jesus?" And I said, "Oh, yes, Pastor. I love Jesus." And she goes, "Yeah, man." And she goes, "I feel him. I feel him all around you." I wasn't walking in there praying. But there's something about when you pray, "God, let your hand be with me." And you go into places and people say, what's so different about you there? I feel something. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that God will go with you and God will become your witness. You don't have to say anything because we live in a world where there's too much talk, not a lot of action. And you've just got to activate this and let this become a lifestyle and let somebody look at you and say, "I feel something. I feel him all around you." That should be your prayer. "God, let your hand be with me. On my job, at home, at school, every part about me, God, and keep me from evil." Well, Pastor, if his hand's on me and he's blessed me and he's enlarged my coast, don't you think that he's going to keep me from evil? No! Because the devil is so afraid of you that he tries his best to distract you. Isn't that what Brother Winslow preached about Sunday, about distractions? And you better be careful because some blessings aren't really blessings. They become a curse because that blessings get a hold of you and you think you did it. And you think it's your car, your home, your bank account. You walk in here like, you're the best thing since sliced bread. And you walk in there with something we call pride. You know what I'm saying? You think you're the only thing. You know? And God said, there's something about pride in your life. Because the devil wants to trip you up. He may never trip you up on the bottle. He may never trip you up on the drugs. He may not even trip you up on money. But he may trip you up on thinking it's you. He may trip you up on you thinking it was your talent and your ability. God, keep me from evil. Help my mind. Help my heart. Help my spirit. Brother Roy, we can't control what comes in, but we can control what stays. And some of us are dwelling on things that we have no business dwelling on. That's why it's so important. I'm going to meddle a little bit. So important to look at the right stuff. This is an incredible piece of technology. Normally you preach this at a youth service or talk about youth service, but this goes for everybody. This has such a powerful positive effect of what we can do, but it also has a powerful distracting method that you can click on something. Oh my goodness, you see something you shouldn't look at. And instead of going like this, we're like, oh. And then we just save it. And then a couple hours later, it's in our brain and we're just looking at it again. Looking at things we shouldn't look at. Listening to things we shouldn't listen to. Gotten quiet here, that's okay. Because I'm telling you, God, keep me from evil. Because there is an adversary that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Wants to break up my marriage. Wants to break up my happy home. But we got to get some people with unction inside their spirits. Got to get some people with made up mind. Devil, you can't have my home. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my kids. You can't have my family. I've been called for such a time as this. I realize I've had pain. I realize I've faced disappointments. I've realized there's been discouraging time. I realize I don't have a great past, but there is a God that has covered me with blood. There's a God that has forgiven me, and I want him to keep me from evil. Why? Because it's our hour. It's our time, and we just need some men and women to understand that the things that we face, the things that we have gone through, has gone through to make us stronger, not better. The wilderness was not meant to kill you. The wilderness was meant to build you. Would you lift your voice with me right now? I feel the Holy Ghost in this house today. Coming all across this building, would you just lift up your voice right now? God, I love you today. God, I hunger for you today. God, if there's ever been an hour for me to be faithful to you and your house and your kingdom, it's now. God, if there's ever been a time for me to pray and seek your face, it's now. God, if there's ever a time for me to walk in your presence, it's now. There's ever been a time for me to flow in the supernatural. God, it's now. Pray your hand on me, God. Pray your touch on me, God. I've got friends that need this. I've got family that needs this. And I can't be derailed and I can't be led astray because of the pains and the struggles that life has brought my way. But God, I pray today that you would enlarge my coast. I pray that you would bless me. I pray that your hand would be on me. I pray, God, that you'd keep me from evil. Pray for Tulare. Pray for this church. I know I don't deserve it, God. I know my past doesn't make sense. God, if you could hear my cry. And the Bible says that God granted his request. Thank God for a God that grants our request. Before service, I was reading a passage of scripture, I think it was in Matthew chapter 14. It was about the widow that came, and we all know the story that the Bible says she came to give her mites, two mites. The Bible says that he looked, and it wasn't, I always thought it was a rich man that came before giving of their substance to the treasury. But you read in scripture, it was rich men. A lot of men walking down with swag saying, look at me, look what I got, look what I give. And the Bible says that the Lord took notice of the rich men and how they gave. And then his eyes were on the widow woman. And the Bible says that she gave of her penury, P-E-N-U-R-Y. And I'm not as smart as y'all. So I had to get my phone out. And I had to look up the meaning of the word penury. Talked about she gave of her poverty. She gave of her want. She gave all. Rich men gave of their substance. It didn't hurt them. They just did their thing. But she gave all. I'm telling you today that God doesn't want 99% of you. God wants all of you. And in that pain, in that discomfort, because sometimes giving is uncomfortable. Sometimes giving yourself to pray when everybody else wants to party, sometimes it's tough. But when you say, God, I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you me. I'm going to get more plugged into this. I know I haven't been what you've called me to be, but God, today I'm going to turn some things around. And I'm going to get that Jacob spirit. And I'm not going to leave until you bless me. I realize it's a Sunday morning today. I realize it's a different approach. But I don't know if you feel this morning, but I feel a call to prayer. I feel a call just in seeking God. And not just coming and praying a lay me down to sleep prayer. But I'm talking about a deep move of the Lord where you begin to lay some things at the altar and say, God, I'm going to give you more of me. Because if you think back to that time where you were giving everything, giving your resources, giving your time, you could agree with me, those were your happiest moments. But somehow time and situations have come in and tried to derail you from that and tried to distract you from other things. But God is calling you today. not to give your substance, but to give your penury, to give all, to give of your want, to give of your need. Anybody feel that today? Anybody agree to say, Pastor, I want God to bless me indeed. I want God to enlarge my coast. I want God's hand to be with me. I want Him to keep me from evil. Oh, if you would either kneel at your pew or come down to the altar. But I think we just need to give ourselves for a few moments on a Sunday morning, a few moments of prayer, a few moments of seeking Him and saying, God, I want to give myself to You. I feel the wooing of Your Spirit. I feel the drawing. And I pray, God, today I wouldn't just pray a lay me down to sleep prayer, but I pray that prayer of Jacob. I'm not leaving, God, until You bless me. I'm not getting out, God, till I turn some things around, till I change some things. Come on, let's turn this into a house of prayer today. Your home depends on it. Your marriage depends on it. Oh, God. Oh, yes, God. Come on, that's it. Live on at home. Live on at your work. Live on at the grocery store. Let it live on. Enlarge my coast. Bless me. Keep your hand on me. Keep me from evil. And God will grant your request. Amen. Would you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Amen. God bless you. Find two or three people. Love on somebody. Make sure you're here tonight, 5:30 early for prayer, 6 o'clock evangelistic service. Let God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.